me just start by saying an enthusiastic yes to this moment. That's what got me here. An enthusiastic yes. Not just a yes, but an enthusiastic yes. So I thank you, Reverend Ann, for the invitation. And you don't know it, but you were also the inspiration for today's message. Because when you asked me to speak, and I responded immediately with that enthusiastic yes, and saw your excitement, I said, wow, that word must have done something. In that moment, I knew that I would be speaking on the power of yes. So thank you again for that, Reverend Ann. Now, you never know what's on the other side of that yes, right? So that was a faith move. And I don't claim to have done any kind of extensive amount of research on this subject, although there are several books written, and I suggest that you read them when you get a chance, because I haven't read any of them. But I chose instead to share with you this morning how this word, yes, has impacted my life. And hopefully, you'll be able to make a connection. And by saying yes so many times in my life, the benefits have far outweighed the risk. And there are risks involved when you say yes to people. And some people, family members and friends, have said that I say yes too often. Of course, that's opinion, not necessarily fact, but I am a firm believer in the law of reciprocity. What you put out comes back to you. And we affirm that every Sunday when we sing, give and it's given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And that's what I receive as I put out all of those yeses. And it's proven true over the course of my life. My positive responses and the intentions behind it has created amazing opportunities for me. And because most relationships begin with yes, that word has created meaningful, loving, joy-filled relationships, lifelong friendships, amazing job opportunities where I could grow and serve others and give back. And in turn, I was benefiting the world and also transforming lives. I could go on and on, but I want to say mainly that my yes has led me to this spiritual community, for which I am so grateful. When I was in second grade, my teacher, Mrs. Walton, asked me, a second grade student, to speak at her church for the children's hour one Sunday. So this is one of those instances where I was voluntold because my mom had already said yes. And in those days, you don't ask kids anyway unless you know, well, we know, we're going to say yes to any adult. And Branson says, if someone offers you an amazing opportunity and you're not sure you can do it, say yes anyway and learn how to do it. This means you are moving past your comfort zone and embracing a new challenge. My mom must have known that because she kept saying yes to requests for me. And it wasn't that deep for me because I was a kid. And so when mom said yes, so it was, and it was so. But as I reflect, that was a defining moment as I read from a script prepared by my teacher to toddlers and preschoolers, not much older than myself. I was in second grade, just a few years older than they were. And mom must have also known that when you have an option of saying yes and you do it, you harness the confidence that people have in you. Because Mom said yes over and over and over again. From the time I was a toddler, she had me up. Yes, you will do that. Yes, you can do that. Yes is a word that does more than answer a question. It creates opportunity and invites possibility. So that Sunday morning, more than six decades ago, opened the door to an opportunity to me to pursue a degree in working with young children, and that has been a lifelong passion. And for that, I am grateful for my mom's yeses. Now, this word also has the power to transform lives and also the course of history, as we'll see in this clip.
And I, sir, I plan on being an engineer at NASA, but I can't do that without taking them classes at that all-white high school. And I can't change the color of my skin. So I have no choice but to be the first, which I can't do without you, sir. Your Honor, out of all the cases you're gonna hear today, which one is gonna matter 100 years from now? Which one is gonna make you the first?
Only the night classes, Mrs. Jackson.
He said yes. He said yes. And that changed the trajectory of someone's life and the course of history. It has changed many of our lives, and we don't even know it. This was based on a true story, Hidden Figures. So we also have to realize that sometimes yes comes with conditions, and that's a fact. But we do have choices. And there are times in our lives when we depend on someone else's positive response to change our situation. I've definitely been there, and perhaps you have too. It's during those times when I use this acronym that I've created for myself, this acronym for YES. Why? I yield. I give up what Alex Thin called stinking thinking, that negative self-talk that it might not happen. E, I expect only that which is meant for my good and the good of others. And S, I surrender. I relinquish that which is meant only for I relinquish thoughts that take me away from my intended purpose. So yes, yes, I yield, I expect, and I surrender. Now, this is for our parents. We are often conflicted about when to use our parental power of yes. But no worries, there are hundreds of books written on that subject too. But a word of caution, parents, with great power comes great responsibility. We are called upon to parent responsibly, not to follow every whim, because no one knows your child better than you. So while books may offer guidance, you have to look at your child as an individual and know that your responses to them may affect them, not only now, but in the future. Did you know there's actually a day called Kids Yes Day? And on that day, parents only respond to requests by saying Yes. Imagine that. Now, the story is told of a teenager who had come of age to acquire his driver's license. So he asked his dad, "Dad, would you buy me a car?" And his father responded immediately, "Yes, son, I'll buy you a car, but there are conditions. You have to keep your room clean for the next 2 months. You have to improve in your studies. And lastly, you have to cut that long hair." If any of you have seen Jeremiah's hair, yes. We're waiting for the opportunity. So Dad said, "If you can do this, then I will buy that car." Now, parents, it's okay to have an agenda and expectations, especially if you know it can be a win-win situation. So the very next day, the son began making his bed and cleaning his room. He'd come home from school, complete his assignments as they were given. They weren't even late. He studied for tests, and his grades improved tremendously. Now, don't you think that son could have done that anyway? Yes, as part of his responsibility. So as parents, we have to parent up, man up, woman up, and require that our kids live up to their responsibility. But nonetheless, this was the bargain that they had agreed upon. So after 2 months, the son came to his dad and said, "Dad, I've kept my room clean and my grades have improved, so now can I get that car?" And Dad said, "Son, I am so pleased that you've done 2 out of the 3 things that I've asked, but you did not cut that hair. That's a deal breaker." So the boy looked at his dad in disappointment and said, "But Dad, Jesus had hair twice as long as mine. He didn't get a haircut." Dad said, "Son, you're absolutely right. Jesus did indeed have long hair. And Jesus also walked everywhere he went." So sometimes we just have to follow through. And as parents, we give in way too much. I can imagine some parents settling for 1 out of the 3. Come on, parents. We have to do our job and parent responsibly. What are we teaching our children if we just settle? What are we teaching them? And because yes cannot always be an immediate or first response, we also have to learn to wait. And what do while we wait? We yield, expect, and surrender. And we can model this for our children and help them develop more patience. In the church of my childhood, the saints used to practice staying prayed up. Some of you might know about that. So when they were waiting for an answer to a prayer, they already had expectations because they had so many prayers already stored up. They prayed without ceasing. So let me translate this in unity terms. This would be synonymous with using daily affirmations and affirmative prayer, setting intentions for good, so when situations arise that require a response, we can be at peace with the choices that we make. So whether we are on the giving or receiving end of that yes, there is power in those words that we speak. Marianne Williamson says that our greatest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. In unity, we teach our children that they create their experiences by what they think, feel, and believe. Their thoughts become words, and their words become action. So what then is our response? what will be our action? What will be our responsibility? In Micah 6:8, we read, "The Lord has told you already what is good, and this is what is required: to do justice, which is what is right, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God." It is within our power to become agents of change and liberation, to create life-changing experiences. Has someone changed your life with the power of yes? If so, we can pay it forward. Imagine what it would mean to someone who is just waiting to hear, "Yes, I forgive you," or "Yes, I love you unconditionally, despite our differences in philosophy, culture, appearance, gender, so forth and so on." Imagine what it would mean to someone to hear these words: "Yes, I see you. Yes, you matter." People in our workplaces and communities are just waiting for you to use your power of yes to speak out and speak up for social justice, for equity in educational practices. If you can't speak the word, then think it. It all is energy. It all gets out there. And if you can't do that, support in any way that you can. In Unity Renaissance, we are harnessing the power of yes as we create programs for our children and adults, exposing them to positive, practical principles as we serve the needs of our community through outreach, as we give generously to further our mission of transforming lives that transform the world. So in conclusion, I expect to receive as many smiles as I give. I expect to receive as many hugs as I give. I expect to receive as many I love yous as I give. And I expect to receive as many yeses as I give. Because what I've come to realize is that people don't just come up to the parking lot and ask you to do things randomly. I've been called into a life of service. And that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to respond to all service requests with an enthusiastic yes. But when I do, I know there's purpose, there's opportunity for growth and transformation, not only for myself, but for others. Now let us go into our meditation. Let us take in a deep breath. And as we let it out, say yes. This is a time to go within and say yes to this moment by just becoming aware that we are, that we exist. Be here now in mind and body. Feel yourself in your chair or whatever space you're in. And if your shoulders are tense, sometimes we hold that tension there, just drop those shoulders, soften the muscles in your face, and breathe. Be in gratitude for all of that. Spirit, in gratitude, we say yes to this moment and to all the moments that have gotten us here, to all the yeses that have gotten us here. We affirm the collective power to create a world of peace and love and equity as we embrace our mission. And as we accept all unconditionally, understanding that we are created from one source and therefore connected, To this we say yes, sweet spirit, and to all of the yes moments that have brought us to this place. And whether we perceive it as good or bad or indifferent, we say thank you. We affirm the wondrous experiences that we can create for our highest good by saying yes. And so it is, and it is so.
Of your